Good morning to everyone. Today is the 23rd Sunday after Pentecost. The epistle for today is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, be followers of me and observe them who walk so as you have our model. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, who will reform the body of our lowliness, made like unto the body of his glory, according to the operation whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Therefore, my dearly beloved brethren, and most desired, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beg of thee, Evodia, and I beseech Syntyche, to be of one mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, my sincere companion, help those women who have labored with me in the gospel, with Clement and the rest of my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Thus far the words of today's epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. At that time, as Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, behold, a certain ruler came up and adored him, saying, Lord, my daughter is even now dead, but come, lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus, rising up, followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who was troubled with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I shall touch only his garment, I shall be healed. But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, Be of good heart, daughter. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus was come into the house of the ruler, and saw the minstrels and the multitude making a rout, he said, Give place, for the girl is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the multitude was put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose, and the fame thereof went abroad into all that country. As for the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. My dear faithful, some striking words in this Gospel, very striking. Two different comments. The first one, towards the end, and they laughed him to scorn. The Latin says, et deridebanteum, they derided him. They did this to Jesus. Now, Jesus was called by this girl's father, Jairus. He comes to get Jesus. And that her father believes that Jesus is God. Her father believes that Jesus can give her life back to her. Raise her from the dead. And he asks Jesus for this very thing. He says, My daughter is even now dead. You come and put your hand on her, and she will live. And when they arrive, Jesus says something to the crowd. They are there. Mourning for the dead girl. It says that they are making a rout. Some of them are most likely her relatives, too. That's the way funerals are. And Jesus tells them all, Make way, for the girl is not dead. But she sleeps. They not only refused to believe him, but they derided him, they scorned him. It is clear that this crowd did not believe that Jesus was God. They did not believe that he could raise the girl from the dead. And you see, there is one in the family who believes it. And the rest do not believe. How often do we see that in our own families in general? Those who have the faith and those who refuse to believe. Because if they did not refuse, then they would believe. God gives the grace of the faith, the gift of faith, to all those who do not refuse it. And so Jesus is there, and he tells them, and they laugh him to scorn. What does Jairus do? Immediately he puts them out. He says, okay, you guys are dismissed. Get out. The gospel tells us, and when the multitude was put forth, he went in. They would not get out of his way. They would not make a path for him to enter the place where the girl was laid. And so, the father of the house put them out of the house. The unbelievers. And Jesus came into her chamber where she was dead. She had been laid there. Took her by the hand, and the maid arose. God is the source of all life. He himself is life. He has uncreated and eternal life. God's life was not a created life like ours. And it never had a beginning, and neither will it ever end. That life of God is what we call sanctifying grace. Because we enjoy that life. We enjoy the uncreated and eternal life of God. When we enjoy the state of grace, when we have been baptized and have not thrown off our baptismal grace by a mortal sin. And if we preserve the grace of our baptism until death, that is why we go to heaven, because we have grace in our souls. We have eternal life. We already have the eternal life in us. It is not evident, but it will be evident in the next world, in the last judgment. The light and the glory of God will shine out from our very bodies. And so this girl who received life again, received again her temporary and created life. It is no wonder if Jesus did this. He's the one who gives every person their life in the beginning, when they're conceived in their mother's womb. And it is he who has the right to take away our life. Death is the general punishment on the whole human race. Because of Adam's sin, and if he hadn't messed things up for us, certainly one of us would have done it, or all of us. And it's not a vindictive punishment, as though God is going to say, okay, you rats, I hate you, here, you're punished. No, that's not it at all. He loves us. He gives us this punishment as a remedy. A remedy for our stupidity, our sluggishness. Remedy for temptation. If you remember, we're going to die. We'll also remember that we better be good now so that when we die, we will be blessed in the next world. If we were not going to die, we might just go on living a long life of sin and say, well, I'll just convert later. A lot of people still do that, thinking they're going to convert at the last hour. Let me tell you, it doesn't work very often that way. Someone who has continued in their sins all their life. Deathbed conversions are rare. And often, an apparent conversion at death is not genuine. And even if it is genuine, in which cases it is genuine, the person has a great fear and trouble for having put off their conversion until death. And so this gospel reminds us that it is Jesus who is truly God. He is our God. He created us from nothing in order to share His goods with us, especially the goods of heaven. And He redeemed us when we had fallen from His favor. The whole race fell with Adam. And so He came and redeemed us from that difficulty and from our own sins by dying on the cross for us. Moving on to the other words that were striking in this gospel are the words of the woman who touched the hem of Jesus' garment. She had been bleeding for 12 years. And the other gospel, and this is Matthew's account, and in the other three gospels, somewhere there's another account of the same event. And this woman, it says in the other accounts, she had spent all her substance on doctors trying to have the remedy of this bleeding. And nothing seemed to work. She was broke. In those days, she probably didn't have medical insurance, but whatever she had, she spent. Maybe not even socialized medicine like we have in the socialist country that we live in these days. So she said, well, I can try to get a remedy from God. And she knew that Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah. And so she said, well, I will do this little act of devotion. I will touch the hem of His garment. And by this little act of devotion and act of faith, I will ask to be cured. And Jesus cured her. In the other account, it tells us that He does not even know who touched Him at first. Well, He did, but He acted as though He didn't. He said, who touched Me? And His disciples all around Him says, Lord, why do you ask us this question? You're in a huge crowd and everybody's touching you. Huh? And He said, no, I mean, who touched Me and power went out of Me? Because it was by divine power that this woman was cured. And it was Jesus' power. And so her bleeding was healed when she touched Him. Touched the hem of His robe. Now, Jesus does not heal everybody. And He doesn't heal everybody, especially those who do not believe in Him. They do not believe in the divinity, that He's God, as well as man. But even among all those who do believe, He does not heal them all. One example of that is Saint Bernadette of Lourdes. She's the one who saw Our Lady of Lourdes. And Our Lady said to her, I am the Immaculate Conception. She became a nun afterwards. She was a teenage girl. She became a nun, and she suffered from tuberculosis after she was in the monastery. And her superiors decided to let her travel to Lourdes and to bathe in the Lourdes water in order to ask for to be cured from her tuberculosis. And she was not cured. And Our Lady told her, these miracles are for others. And those are miracles. Some people get the idea that all that Jesus is good for is to cure us and to do what we want him to do. Not so. These people put the cart before the horse. The right order of thinking is to inquire, what does Jesus want from me? And not to inquire, what do I want from Jesus? This is the philosophy of saints. What does Jesus want from me? And there are times when he wants you to suffer offering sacrifice with the Holy Mass, with the death of our Lord. So therefore we have to see, even though Jesus cures and raises from the dead, it is not the only thing he wants for us. He also wants for us our cross. And so we bear our crosses. That is our happiness. That is our glory as Catholics. That we cooperate and participate in the very sacrifice that redeemed us by our own sufferings and our own sacrifices. If we do not believe in making the sacrifices that God demands from us, we can't say we have the Catholic spirit, can we? But if we believe in making what sacrifices that God expects from us, and even though we might start by complaining about it, we still say to ourselves after we think, we say, yeah, maybe I complain a little, but I realize down deep inside, now that I think about it, that it's better for me to sacrifice with Christ. It's the Protestant error to believe we don't have to suffer or sacrifice. Protestants say, well, Jesus' sacrifice was of infinite value, and we can't add anything to infinity. This is all true. Infinity is not able to increase. But it is the will of God the Father that even though we cannot increase the infinite merits of Christ, we can participate in them by meriting a little something with him. And thus, we not only take him as our personal Savior, as the born-again Christians do, we also join him in his work. And so we are not freeloaders, saying, Jesus did it all, so I don't have to do anything. Oh, we need to suffer. It was our sins that brought down all these troubles on us. And so we're the ones who ought to pay for them. But we can't pay it all. But we can pay part, and that part we should pay by obeying the commandments, by doing our duties, and doing what sacrifices God expects from each person in their state and walk of life. That is how we find ourselves at peace with God. And so today we have these lessons, big lessons. This woman was cured, not everybody is cured. This lady was raised from the dead. Not everybody gets to rise from the dead. But we all get to participate in the final resurrection if we will suffer and sacrifice with the Lord those things which he expects from us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.